Morning, everyone. We're wrapping up our Easter message series on resurrection power, and today we're going to see how God gives us power for our protection. When I was growing up, there were several burglaries in our neighborhood, and everyone was on edge, and everyone was concerned. And there was one man in our neighborhood that went a little bit overboard. His name was Mr. Geezy. And Mr. Geezy started by erecting a fence around his property. And this wasn't just any fence. It was a metal fence, and it had spikes on the top of it so that no one would comfortably get over that fence. Then he had a gate for his driveway. Well, if you made it over the spiked fence, you came across Scrappy. Scrappy was Mr. Geezy's dog, and it was the meanest dog I ever have seen. It was a German Shepherd, and it was raised to be mean. I mean, German Shepherds are wonderful dogs, but Scrappy was really tough. Everybody was afraid of Scrappy. So if you got past the fence, past Scrappy, Mr. Geezy decided that over the front of all of his windows and his bottom, the lower story, he put iron bars over all the windows and the doors. This is a suburban neighborhood, okay? All right. Mr. Geezy was very much concerned about his protection. So if you made it over the fence, past Scrappy, past the iron bars, Mr. Geezy let everybody know that he had an arsenal in his house that he was willing to use with ammunition if needed. All right. Well, Mr. Geezy isn't the only one concerned about protection. God is concerned about your protection too. And as Max said, today we come to the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he would go away from his disciples. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he's ready to be betrayed and arrested, to die on a cross, to rise, and then ascend into heaven, he's talking to his Father about what his followers would need the most. And in this high priestly prayer, three times, Jesus talks about our need to be protected. The verb in Greek is tereo, and it means to stand guard, to watch over, to make sure that his people would be safe. There are three aspects of this protection that are mentioned in the high priestly prayer where Jesus prays for us. First of all, Jesus prays that we would be protected by the power of his name, of Christ's name. He's praying to his Father, and he says, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave to me." Verse 12, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me." The name of God always has power because God's name is as good as God. In the Old Testament, God appears to Moses in a burning bush and tells him that he would be the one to lead the people, his children, out of captivity in Egypt. And Moses says to God, "God, if someone asks, who shall I say is telling me to do this?" And God says, "Tell them, I am who I am, sent you." You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. In fact, then later on, the Lord says, "Tell them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac of Jacob, has sent you. This is my name forever. It's the name that I am to be remembered from generation to generation." There is power in the name of our God. And specifically in the name of Jesus. Jesus says that the name that the Father gave to his Son is powerful. And we see this time and time again in the Bible. In Acts chapter 4, after the ascension, the apostles come across a man who is crippled. And the man is obviously in a bad way. And Peter looks at him and says, "I tell you, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the man got up and he leaped and he walked for joy. How could he do that? In fact, they were called in front of the Sanhedrin, the ruling officials, and they said, "How did you heal that man?" And the answer was, "We did it in the name of Jesus." There is power in the name of Jesus. In fact, in Acts, that same chapter, Peter says, "There is no other name given among men under heaven to which we must be saved." The name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And you know, you're going to acknowledge the name of Jesus. Hopefully we do it while we're here, right? Where God gives us time to trust in Him and to know Him and to love Him and to worship Him like we are today. But the fact is, at the end of time, everyone will know the name of Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, one day, everyone who has ever lived in the past, in the present, or in the future, at that time, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. In a few minutes, we're going to see that power working on Aiden in holy baptism. Pastor Jack will make the sign of the cross upon his forehead and upon his heart to mark him as one who belongs to Jesus. And he will be with Jesus. The name of Jesus will be upon him, just as Jesus is upon you. And there is power, because in that name there is protection to know that the one who loves you and died and rose for you will always be with you. Protection by the power of the name of Jesus. The second aspect of our protection is as a result of the unity that God grants to us. Jesus prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Unity. Later on in verse 21, Jesus prays for us and for those who would come after the disciples as a result of their word. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." There's that unity. And then at the end of the prayer, he says, "I have given them the glory that you gave to me, that they may be one, even as we are one." God is concerned about our oneness, our unity in the body of Christ. And it's something that we don't fabricate. It's something that God gives to us as a result of his grace. Paul talks about the fact that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's the oneness that we have as a result of who we are in Jesus. There is power in our unity, and there is strength. You know, there's a basketball game this afternoon. Or how many of you are following the Pacers and the Heat series? Are you following that? Okay. It's good to root for our hometown team. And who's winning so far? The Pacers are up 2-1. Now, before the series started, people gave the Pacers a little chance because the Heat, the Miami Heat, have two superstars, MVPs, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And those guys are so good, the Pacers wouldn't have a chance. But what has happened is that the Pacers are beating them because they work as a team. They aren't concerned about who scores the points. They aren't concerned about who gets the ball. They're more concerned about playing defense as a team. And as a team, because they are one, because of their unity, that's the secret of their success. And Jesus knew when he prays for us that how important it is for us to hang together, that there is strength, that there is hope, that there is workability in our oneness that we have as a mission. And that by virtue of our baptism, God has called us to the mission. He has sent us out. Jesus says, they are not of the world, they are not in the world, but he says, I send them out to the world. And that's what God, our Savior, does for us. And he does it in unity as we hang together with each other and support one another and care for one another and encourage one another. And what is it that breaks down this unity in the body of Christ? It's our pride. It's that desire that I have to have it my way. And of course, as we've learned before, the middle letter of pride is the same middle letter of sin. I. And when it comes to the body of Christ, when we insist on our own way, that's when we have trouble. Jesus knew that this would be an issue for his disciples. In fact, earlier in the same day when he's praying this prayer, the disciples, we're told, had an argument. And what did they argue? They argued about who would be the top dog, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And by virtue of sometimes of our opinions and our attitudes, many of them which are not even biblical, we insist on our own way, on our own priorities. You have to do what I want. And that breaks down the unity in our families, and it breaks down the unity in the body of Christ. My mother grew up in North Carolina. It's where I was also born. And her home church was St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Hickory, North Carolina. When I was old enough, I noticed something unusual when we went to church there, and we had already moved away, but when we went back there, I noticed that there were three St. Stephen's Lutheran churches at the same intersection. Three. And I asked somebody, I says, why are there three churches with the very same name, and they're all Lutheran? And one older uncle of mine said that he wasn't quite sure, but he believes that many, many years ago, the pastor put a peg, a wooden peg, in the back of the church. And when he came in, on this peg, he would hang his hat. Well, one time, an elder came in and noticed the peg and the pastor's hat and was all upset because the pastor had not asked the elder for permission to be able to put the peg in the wall in the back of the church. And so one group backed the pastor, one group backed the elder, and there was a split. And so that's why there were multiple St. Stephen's Lutheran churches. Isn't it amazing how we can let our pride get the best of us in some of the most silly kinds of things? You know, I got to have my music. I have to sing my songs. I have to have my classes. And it becomes very self-centered in our faith. And what happens is it breaks down the unity of the body of Christ. My father-in-law's pastor in Las Vegas told me one time that after a weekend worship service at an elders' meeting, he was called under the carpet. He was criticized severely because someone found out that he, the pastor, on Sunday had worn white socks. How terrible is that? Check Pastor Jack. I think he's got darks. I do. Okay, but that's the kind of stuff that we get into when the unity of Christ breaks down as a result of our pride. And yet Jesus says that our oneness is a gift from Him, and it protects us. That when we are pulling together with the same mission, when we understand that, like at Carmel Lutheran, our mission is to reach out, care for, and build people toward maturity in Christ, and when we're all going as a team in the same direction, wonderful things happen. But when pride gets in the way, we start to splinter, and we lose our unity. So we are protected by the powerful name of Jesus. We are protected by the unity that God gives to us. Thirdly, then, we are protected by Christ's victory over the evil one. Jesus prays, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." As Jesus is about to send his disciples out, because he would not be with them, remember? He would be ascending into heaven. He prays for their protection from the evil one. Who is the evil one? The evil one is Satan. And Jesus, we know, did battle with Satan head on when he went to the cross, when he carried the sins of the world upon himself, and he suffered for those sins. And it looked like Satan had won the victory until Easter morning came when the tomb was empty and Jesus was not dead, but he is alive. And because he lives through our faith connection to him, we live too. And we share that same victory over Satan and sin and even death itself. That's the assurance that we have, and that protects us, that truth, that confidence to know that Jesus has won the victory, and because of that, Jesus could ascend to heaven and send his Holy Spirit so that through his Spirit, he could be everywhere at the same place, at the same time. He could be in your heart. He could be in my heart. He could be in the hearts of people all the way in China. That's what God does for us through the victory that Jesus won for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. And yet Satan, by his very name, is the father of all lies. And Satan will sow seeds of doubt in your heart. When you're going through something tough, you say, "Where are you, God? Are you really there with me? Can I really trust you?" Well, Jesus prays that victory that he won would give you confidence and assurance that even in those times, you look to the cross and you know how much God loves you and you know the victory that he won for you. And as a result of who you are, that you have the name of Jesus on you, that victory is yours too. And nothing is going to defeat you or pull you away from God and his love. We have that assurance. God is our protector. Some time ago, I read about an explorer who made an amazing discovery. He was the first one ever to videotape the birth of a panda cub. Now, the mother panda bear is very protective when she has her young, and it's very difficult to get close enough to film such an event, but this man was able to do it. It was amazing. The newborn cub that was born was no bigger than a gerbil, could be held in the palm of your hand, this panda cub. And in order to protect the cub from the elements after the cub was born, and to give the cub an opportunity to be sheltered from the dangers of the outside world, this mother panda cub spread her entire body over this little tiny baby cub. And for 28 days, the mother panda bear did not move. She didn't sleep. She didn't eat. She didn't even use the facilities, so to speak, okay? For 28 days. Can you imagine it? And in doing so, that cub was able to grow. God is our protector. And Jesus prays that we would be protected. We are protected as a result of the power of His name that we share today. We are protected as a result of the oneness, the unity that we have in Jesus. And we are protected by the victory that Jesus won over the evil one. I like the words of Psalm 121. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. When you go out, see outside the door today, the sun is shining. You're going to see your shadow. And you know, wherever you go, that shadow is going to be with you. Doesn't matter where you travel. That's the way God's grace is for you. He's always going to be with you, no matter what you're going through, and to protect you and to make sure. Well, it's a comfort, I know, when you leave your house to be able to click that deadbolt, right? You feel no one's going to get in here, right? Or if you have an alarm system that you set it, or if you have a big dog, that helps too, all right? We're going to see one of those. But how grateful we are today for God's eternal protection. That the God who loved you enough to give His life for you in Jesus preserves your soul. How long He preserves your going out and your coming in, says the psalmist, from this time forth and even forevermore. God be with you, and may He always assure you of His protection. Amen.